Final hour of the show. You just heard it right there from Sarah in the update. The news broke during the show earlier, Gambo, that Malcolm Butler is officially on the retired slash reserve list for the Arizona Cardinals. So as of right now, they don't have him.
Yeah, I wish he would have told us a little bit earlier that he was going to retire. Right?
Would have been nice.
Like I'll just say this. I mean, we've had a lot of athletes whose time here in Arizona was short lived. You remember Wally Backman?
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you another one. This is going to be right up your alley. How long was Brett Hull here?
Ooh, I want to say 5 games.
Brett Hull. Brett Hull was here for it felt like a week.
Yeah, that's about 5 games. I'm checking that right now, but I want to say it was about 5 games.
Brett Hull, Wally Backman. It's another example of a guy that was here for nothing. I mean, that's Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
You're never even going to remember he signed. 10 years from now, you're never going to even remember he signed with the Cardinals.
Brett Hull, 5 games. Had an assist, though, so that's a big point with the
He had
Coyotes.
1 point with the Arizona Coyotes. Yeah.
I know it was an injury, Coyotes. But wasn't Richie Sexson's stint here Richie 25 Sexson. Games?
Yeah.
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 This one, though, they were counting on Malcolm Butler. I don't want to make, I'm not minimizing whatever, I don't know what his personal situation is.
How many games did Trevor Ariza play?
Well.
Not many.
No.
Remember?
I'm not even sure he was playing.
Got rid of him as soon as they could.
When he played, I'm not even sure he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, you think about athletes that came here and their time was short-lived.
For Trevor
26
Ariza.
Games for Trevor Ariza. That could be a great, Twitter thing. What athletes were here for, the shortest amount of time that had some name recognition?
Emmitt Smith couldn't have played that many games, could he? I guess he played 2 seasons.
No, he was here for years. Emmitt Smith was here for years.
25 games, though.
Yeah, I know, but that 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about guys that didn't even make it a year. Brett Hull didn't make it a week. Malcolm Butler didn't make it to the start of the season. Trevor Ariza didn't make it till Christmas. You start to think about, guys who, that were just here for a cup. Wally Backman didn't make it to his press conference.
Yeah, that's not great. And as you said earlier, Malcolm Butler retired before Larry Fitzgerald. So that's not something any of us saw coming.
Yeah, no, it's just a fun thing to think about. I enjoy some of those sometimes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else would even be on that list. This has got to be, in terms of guys.
You'll rack your brain thinking of it. You'll go through, this is when I start to think, okay, Suns, Diamondbacks, Coyotes, Cardinals. What guys were here for such a short amount of time that you can't even remember them?
I feel like there's a Cardinal that we're forgetting. I'm going to spend the entire break trying to figure this out now.
I know this doesn't really count, but June Jones as ASU's head coach.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was official, but that idea lasted about a half day.
Yeah.
Lisa Love is their AD. She was actually their AD for a number of years, but the amount of time she actually spent in the office was about 6 total hours. So, that could count if you wanted to use it that way.
Yeah, 6 hours would not be a lot of time on the job.
How long did Makovic last with U of A?
That can't be very much either. Yeah,
remember the mutiny?
Yeah.
We had a listener tweet us that Hidu Turkoglu, and I just looked it up. He played 25 games for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Was that more or less than Trevor Ariza?
It was one less than Trevor Ariza.
This is
one
a great
less.
List.
It was all right. That's good.
Two and a half seasons for Makovic.
Really?
Oh, was he there for two and a half years?
And it was 5 games into the 2003 season that he got run out.
Huh. We should put together an all-time team for each of the teams.
Oh, my God. That would be so great, wouldn't it?
And the thing is, you could do it. I mean, you might not be able to put together a 53-man roster for the Cardinals, but you could find probably 5 of these guys.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we could do coaches, too, that were just here for a short time.
Yeah. We're coming up with a lot of coaches, actually. We're coming up with coaches more easily than players.
Trying to think at U of A after Lute.
Well, Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah, Kevin O'Neill. Kevin O'Neill was there for a little while, but he was there for a little while, right?
Yeah, he did one season and expected to take over, but did not. Russ Pennell then did one season.
Okay, so nobody was there for just a few games.
No, not off the top of my head. No.
Huh.
Okay. All right. That's a good list. We've got to. We would actually take some time to think. Sometimes I come up with things on a whim that take time to think, but that's what it hit me when we started to think of Malcolm Butler. I mean, that guy was here. Brett Hull, Wally Backman, Trevor Ariza. You start to think of guys that were here so short, and he's right in that list.
Well, and the thing with Butler that's just it's wild is I did not in any any instance expect to be talking about his Cardinals career in past tense on August 31st of 2021, because for all these guys that we're listing, they're either coaches or they're players, but they weren't players. Like, Brett Hall wasn't expected to come in and save the Coyotes. Malcolm Butler was coming in and expected to play a huge role on a Cardinals team that was supposed to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's you can't fault it, right? It was the right decision to go get him. You don't know what's in the guy's heart, or, you know, does he want it? You know, you sign a guy who wants to play. He's going to make $3.5 million if he hits his incentives. He's got an opportunity to play. It's a good amount of money. It's not what he's made a lot of money in the past. So I'm sure that wasn't the final decision. But still, you know, nobody sneezes at $3.5 million. But I think when you signed him, everybody was happy. It seemed like the right decision. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, when they signed Malcolm Butler, you go back to Twitter or reaction, people were very happy that they got Malcolm Butler. Like, wow, that was a great signing, but he obviously didn't have it in his heart to want to play anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to second guess Steve Keim on this one. There are plenty of areas where I'll look and I'll be like, oh, they should have done this differently or whatever. But I was on the air with Dan Bickley that day in the moments when they signed him, and we were absolutely both happy. Like, okay, this is Steve Keim seeing a need for his team and addressing it. They needed a good veteran corner who's going to play physical football, and Malcolm Butler checked all those boxes. And I know he didn't have a good training camp / preseason, but I mean, I was absolutely, as you said earlier, willing to write that off as like, okay, he's a vet, he's been in this league, he'll turn it on when the season starts. And now you don't have him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the comments, what I said, you know, Butler's base salary will come in at 3.25, man. Everybody's reaction was, oh, my God, what a steal. This is a great signing. Everybody liked the signing of Malcolm Butler. They liked it. But, you know, you just don't know that he wasn't going to play. You just weren't sure. Hey, how long did some of those Coyotes owners last, Luke? I mean, had to be some of them that were only there for a short time.
Well, there were some of them that I don't think ever actually owned the team. So I don't know if we want to count those.
But here's a good one. Terry Porter.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford's one. Terrell Suggs?
Terrell Suggs?
He sizzles all up in our mentions.
That's
right
a good
now.
One.
Yeah.
Robert Horry threw the towel in Danny Ainge's face and Colangelo got rid of him? That's a good one.
Michael Crabtree.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Which is what makes him such a great answer.
Yes.
That's a great answer.
Because I just think like 49er. I don't even think Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
No, you don't. See, there are people right now driving around like, Michael Crabtree was on the Cardinals?
Yeah. Hold up.
I think if Michael Crabtree's listening right now, he's like, I was on the Cardinals?
I don't even remember I was on the Cardinals.
Yeah,
he actually played 2 games for the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Crabtree.
Fancy that.
Who came up with that one?
Oh, that was Dylan.
Dylan.
Wow.
Yes.
Dylan, that's a great one.
Yes, it was 3 Dylans.
It took 3 Dylans to come up with that one. It was so good.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Four receptions for 22 yards, Michael Crabtree in 2 games with the Cardinals. That's a really good one.
That blew my mind.
He's going on my all-time Cardinals what-if team. I'm gonna put Crabtree.
I got Brett Hull number one.
Ooh.
Shortest stint. I mean, because that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, the Coyotes, technically, if you want to go with the Coyotes, they had Pavel Datsyuk. They had all these guys that are going to the Hall of Fame that never played. but yeah, Brett Hull.
Yeah, but you
played
can't count
games.
Those guys. But Brett Hull was a big name, and he played 5 games.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. People can chime in and just throw us their suggestions on Twitter. I got Terry Porter, Sam Bradford, Robert Horry. There's some really good ones here.
Yeah, Caron Butler just showed up. Did we mention
Caron Butler?
That's
Dontrell Willis.
Yeah,
who played 1 game for the D-backs.
Oh, my God, I totally remember that.
Okay, this one's painful. From AZ Sports Fan 602. Steve Wilkes, 2 exclamation points.
That was a full season.
Yeah, Mike McCoy, though, that was a half season.
Yeah, but that felt like 10 seasons.
Pain.
But Caron Butler never played for the Suns, so he doesn't count.
Well, Malcolm Butler's never going to play.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler didn't play for the Cardinals.
He did play preseason games.
Does preseason count?
I don't think it counts.
Because then we would have to count all these training camp bodies and practice squad players who also don't technically count.
I got to remember the Caron Butler thing, but he was never going to play here. Butler was signed and he was going to play. Butler was never going to play here.
I like that Crabtree one.
I like the Crabtree one. What was the other one somebody just mentioned before, like 2 seconds ago?
Dontrell Willis.
Butler. Yeah, Dontrell.
That one's great. That one is really, really good. Yeah, I like that one, Jordan. Did you come up with that on your own?
No, that was from a listener's tweet. Copper State Sports.
Yeah. Okay, man, those are good ones.
Yeah. Our mentions are blown up.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to spend the whole break doing this now.
Yeah, we're on to something. I like it.
All right, Bix Picks is back for the 2021 NFL season. Text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So text PICK to 620-620. To enter. All right, when we come back, sort of along the lines of the Malcolm Butler news, the Cardinals are now, they're depending on more than just one rookie when week one rolls around in a week and a half. We'll get into that next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, no Malcolm Butler for the Arizona Cardinals now, at least at the moment, it looks like for the season and forever. He's technically officially on the retired reserve list as of about 2:30 today. Yeah, I don't know why. I keep, like, Gamble, I keep giving it, like caveats. Like, I think he's going to come back or he's going to come off that list. I mean, he's retired. There's really no other way to put it. Malcolm Butler retired today.
Listen, the other thing is you don't want a guy that doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
So if his heart's not in it, you don't take the $2 million in cap space back and go try to find somebody, you know, give that money to somebody that's worthy. I don't want Malcolm Butler now. I don't want him. His heart's not in it. He doesn't want to play. He wants to retire. Okay, go retire. You know, all the best to you, man. But, you know, that's not a situation where if he changed his mind tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, yeah, bring him back. Not a good situation. Stay retired.
We mentioned this earlier, the Patrick Peterson with the Instagram post that I guess it wasn't meant to be. Is it possible Ward was just meant like as worn, like talking about number 21? I mean, maybe that was it. I don't know. Like that's
it's honestly one of the first things I thought about was Patrick Peterson was going to say something.
And he did.
I swear. Well, because he can't stop looking back. He doesn't look forward. He always looks back. So the second he found out that the guy that was replacing him retired and didn't even play in the first game, I mean, you kind of knew that he was going to have something to say. I thought he might just put karma or something like that. Look, you don't want me, but now you got a guy that didn't want you. So yeah. You didn't want me, but you just signed a guy that didn't want you. He didn't want to play anymore. So I had a feeling we were going to hear from Patrick Peterson.
I would almost been disappointed if we didn't, just because I think we all expected
to. We're just expecting it now.
Yeah. But look, somebody's going to replace him, because now somebody's got to replace Malcolm Butler, and that somebody might very well be, at least in some part, the rookie, Marco Wilson. So the Cardinals are... You're leaning on a few rookies. You're already leaning on Zaven Collins. You're now going to lean on Marco Wilson, who, by all accounts, especially from Cliff Kingsbury, even as recently as today, talking about how well he played. In fact, this is from earlier today, which feels like years ago because it's before Butler actually retired. But he was asked about Marco Wilson, and he said this.
No question. Yeah, he's played at the highest level when you're talking about college football. Tried to cover all those, you know, top receivers that come out every year, whether it's Bama, LSU, Georgia. So the moment's not too big for him.
So that's some rookies playing big roles this year, Gambo.
You know, Byron Murphy got thrown into the fire his rookie season, and he had a lot of growing pains. Like you saw some talent there. You thought that he was going to be a good player, and he is a good player. He is developed. He's blossomed into one of the really good young cornerbacks in this league. He's 23 years old, Byron Murphy, and he might be your number one cornerback. He got drafted out of Washington, first pick in the second round, and he was really good in his rookie season. Not really good. He struggled in his rookie season, but he got a lot of playing time. I mean, they threw him right into the fire. So this is going to be the same thing for Marco Wilson. He's going to have to learn from Byron Murphy a lot, like, you know, because you're in the same position. You know, Byron Murphy's rookie season was, again, it was just, he was okay. He had 78 tackles, 10 deflections, 1 interception. Started all 16 games, so there were a lot of positives for him, but there were negatives too. I mean, he got picked on a lot by opposing quarterbacks, and same thing's going to happen to Marco Wilson. They're going to pick on him the way they picked on Byron Murphy.
Yeah, that's what's tough about this, because Marco Wilson could, in theory, he could go out there, he could have an amazing career, but that doesn't mean he's going to be amazing as a rookie thrown into the fire, presumably in week one now, starting against either A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. He could still be amazing, and he could still even do better than most rookies would, especially fourth-round picks thrown into the fire. All that could happen, but it could still not be enough to get this team to the playoffs. That's the part I'm having a hard time reconciling. I've looked at this Cardinals team all offseason as got to make the playoffs this year. And now, and it's not
their
fault. Yeah,
it is. It's still the same. It doesn't change.
But it's harder now.
It doesn't change. Like, that's the thing. It doesn't change. Just because Malcolm Butler retired doesn't mean that, okay, now we change the expectations for this Arizona Cardinals team. The expectations are that they are going to make the playoffs with or without Malcolm Butler. Like, that's it. With or without him. And if they don't make it, and it's because of the cornerback position, then they're going to have to live with that. Now, I like the three guys that they have. I don't think that they can get anybody better than those three guys. They're not going to find somebody off the scrap heap that's going to be better than the top three guys you have. But I think you might be able to find somebody who comes in as a fourth or fifth cornerback and could give you the depth that you would need at that position in case of an injury.
Well, and you know, I'm sure there's somebody driving around right now like, okay, well, but they're counting on Zaven Collins, too, and he's a rookie. Yeah, but Zaven Collins was a first-round pick, and they've known they were counting on him to start since the day they drafted him, whereas with Wilson, it was like, hey, if this guy turns out good, we've got some depth, and we've maybe got a guy for the future. It's just now he's thrown in. I'm 100% with you that the expectations can't change. I mean, you added J.J. Watt. You got DeAndre Hopkins last year. You added Rodney Hudson this year. But it just...
Yeah, no excuses here. There's no excuses.
No, it's just I think it's going to be tougher now.
I mean, the same thing if Malcolm Butler went down with an injury. I mean, if the guy was injured.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. You consider it that. Now, I'm looking at Murphy's rookie year. He gave up 70 catches on 103 targets. He gave up the second most receptions allowed and the fourth most targets among cornerbacks. He got targeted the fourth most of any cornerback, and he gave up the second most receptions. Patrick Peterson was out for the first 6 weeks. They went after him, and they went after him hard. And Marco Wilson's going to have the same thing. They're going to test him. Now, listen, if you play well and teams are testing you, that's going to get on tape. Teams are going to see it, and maybe... You know, maybe you play well enough to where teams don't want to go after you as much as they went after Byron Murphy. But that will take him playing extremely well to do.
Yeah, and you're gonna be tested right away in week one against Tennessee. And you're already, you know, we've looked at these first, I would say, two games with the Titans and the Vikings. And we've looked and said, okay, well, Zaven Collins is going to have his hands full. They're all going to have their hands full facing Derrick Henry in week one and then Dalvin Cook in week two. From the running back position, but now it's like, okay, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown in week one for Tennessee. The Vikings, it's not like some amazing passing game, but they've got some weapons too. We're talking about this before the show. Like, it's not that the Cardinals can't win in week one against Tennessee, but doesn't it kind of feel like they're going to have to score 35 points to do it, Gambo?
To you, that's what it feels like?
It feels like week one with all these, you've got moving parts and rookies that might end up being great, but it's a lot to ask of them to be great in week one. It just feels like they're going to have to score some points to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to have to. I mean, I still think that the defense is good. Like, if Chandler Jones is back and J.J. Watt and you've got the pass rush, I think that's going to help a lot. I mean, I think that, you know, the linebackers, Isaiah Simmons has experience now. Zaven so far has played well. I mean, maybe, but I'd be disappointed. Like, this should be a defense that's, you know, right around top 10, 11, 12 in the league. They shouldn't be a bottom-tier defense. It's your third year under Vance. They've made tremendous strides. I would think that defense will, you know, be able to keep teams in check for a lot of the season.
I do like that pass rush. That pass rush better be great this year.
It better be. I know. I totally agree. I think the pass rush is going to be a big key. If the pass rush is there, it's going to take a lot of pressure off the secondary. Yeah. We all know that.
And that was the plan, ultimately. Texas, your thoughts on the Cardinals defense to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, go around the NFL a little bit, got some quarterback news around the league as these rosters, these cutdowns, and the rosters get set for, you know, the first NFL game is next Thursday. So that's next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, Gambo, I got another one for our all-time teams of players that never actually really played for the teams here in the Valley.
All right, give me it.
Sergio tweeted in, Jim McMahon. Two games back in 1994.
That's good. Absolutely solid. Jim McMahon, Malcolm Butler, Wally Backman, Brett Hull, Trevor Ariza. It's a lot of good guys' names out there. Players that came here and barely made it a month or two.
Yeah. Michael Crabtree. What was it? Somebody threw in Caron Butler, too. So maybe we should just stay away from Butlers for a while because they don't seem to ever actually.
Butler? I don't think Butler never played for the Suns. I don't think there was any ever intention of him playing for the Suns.
Okay. Well, anyway, add Jim McMahon to the list there for the Cardinals. The quarterbacks, the moving around the NFL was all supposed to start this offseason with Deshaun Watson getting moved. He obviously hasn't yet, depending who you listen to. There's talk that he's going to get moved soon. And then obviously the pass or the 1 o'clock PM, if that was a deadline that passed today when all the other teams had to get down to 53 players, this was Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network today.
They are going to do nothing. My understanding, and this is something I've reported with my esteemed colleague over there, Tom Pelissero, is that the Texans are not expected to trade Deshaun Watson before today's 4 p.m. roster cutdown deadline, which means he is expected to be on their roster. What happens then, what happens next, is really anyone's guess. Deshaun Watson has vowed not to play for the Texans, but he is expected, barring some dramatic change, to be on their final or initial roster, I should say. And of course, the Texans have been open to exploring potential trades for Deshaun Watson, who asked to be traded. There were some teams interested, there were some discussions, but nothing came to fruition.
So he hasn't moved yet, Gambo, and you can sort of put those reports up against the reports that Miami's owner really wants him on the Dolphins, but then Brian Flores earlier this week saying, you know, they want to build around high character guys, and there's just much
that
up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, no trades imminent. It doesn't look like any trades imminent. He's on the 53-man roster, and they'll probably have him inactive every single week and pay him his money and try to figure it out. I mean, they're in a tough spot. I mean, they could have got a boatload for him if they would have traded him before these allegations came out. But now it's a risk. It's a risk to trade for him. And even if he's a top quarterback in the NFL, but the risk with the allegations, 22 women have filed civil lawsuits against them. 22. Alleging sexual assault.
Yeah.
You do have a responsibility as a team to your community. You do. You have a responsibility to your team. You know this. The Coyotes, you know, they drafted a kid in the first round, and they cut him because he had bullied another kid. The responsibility you have is a great responsibility if you're an organization, if you own an organization. You want to be a partner with the community. You want to help the community. You want to use your players and your team to do good. So if you bring in a player of questionable character, all for winning, and it's just, to some people, it's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fans out there just want to win, and they don't care what the cost is. But to bring in a guy that's alleged to have all these sexual assault issues and 22 women, that's not going to sit very well with a lot of your fan base. A lot of your fans, that's not going to sit very well if you trade for a guy like that.
Yeah, and look, I know there are some people out there screaming innocent until proven guilty, and that's fine. But you know, for the purposes of this conversation, if you bring a guy like Deshaun Watson in, it is undeniable that you will alienate a good chunk of your fans. And then
100%.
If he's found guilty, you're going to alienate all of your fans, and he's also not going to play. So if you only care about the winning, he might not even help you there. I can't imagine a team, especially Miami, in just football terms, with everything else, if there were no other factors, Miami would make the most sense. But now, with all these other complications, Miami doesn't make much sense to me at all, because to me, they have something to lose if they take a risk and he shows up and doesn't play.
There's a lot of teams out there that haven't won in a long time and feeling the pressure to win is great. And you might say, you know what, I'll deal with the ramifications of the fan, you know, the fans that are upset about it, and you'll just deal with it, because all in the sake of trying to win. Or you talk to him, you talk to his representatives, you talk to his family, and you know, if you feel like, you know, that he's going to be exonerated, that everything's going to be okay, you might say, okay, listen, I've spoken with him and I believe him, or whatever he's going to tell you. You could do it that way. But to blindly just make a trade for him while all of this is going on around him is it's unwise. He's almost got to be cleared out of this. Now, again, we don't know if anything's true. It's just alleged right now, but it's not one report or two reports. 22 women filed a civil lawsuit against him alleging sexual assault.
Yeah.
So, good luck. You want to Like, the Texans want to get rid of him, but they know it's almost impossible now. And if I'm a team trading for him, I would almost just wait it out, man. Just wait it out. Because, again, the responsibility you have to your community is a great one. And when you bring in players like that, if you bring in a player that's got that is really questionable character, may have done something like that, you're going to have... You know, you're going to have a fan base that turns on you.
Now, on the flip side, if I told you at the end of last season, before we knew any of this stuff about Deshaun Watson, okay, you know, he probably won't be starting the season active, that you would have been like, what? Why? And then you also, if I had said even 2 weeks ago, yeah, Josh Rosen's probably going to be the backup quarterback in Atlanta behind Matt Ryan, you would have looked at me with an equal amount of doubt, I would say, Gambo.
Well, you just don't know, right? I mean, A.J. McCarron goes down with an injury, and the next guy they have is, you know, an inexperienced player. And so Josh Rosen made a lot of sense because he got cut by San Francisco, and so he ends up there. So I don't know that I would have doubted that one. The Watson thing is, I would have probably bet that nobody would have traded for him while this is all going on.
Yeah.
That's what I would have bet. I would have bet that, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to trade for a guy. They're going to put him on a 53-man roster. Like, you're not going to cut him. So, I mean, 22 active civil lawsuits. He's not going to play for anybody this year, in my opinion. He's not going to play. He's going to be like, you know, like a healthy scratch. He's not going to play. He'll be on the team, but he's not going to play. My guess is that who is the running back from the Ravens that punched his wife in the face and it got caught on video?
Ray Rice.
Never played again.
Nope.
Never played again. Any assault on a woman like that is, you know, it's not tolerated. It's not tolerated. You just can't do it. So Ray Rice never played again. Doesn't matter how much you say you're sorry. Doesn't matter how many classes you take to get right, anger management, all of that stuff. Man, you knocked out a woman. You're not playing.
Yeah.
You're not going to play. I don't care how remorseful you are. Lapse of judgment. One mistake like that, you know, they'd rather you take drugs. They'd rather you go, they'd rather you take drugs and do something than punch a woman or assault a woman.
The cynic, though, would say Ray Rice, yeah, he never played again, but he was also a running back towards the end of his career. So teams it may have been easier for them to say, okay, this guy isn't going to help us anyway. He's not worth it. Yeah, I mean, this is a quarterback in the prime of his career.
Do you think he'll play a game this year?
I don't think he'll play this year, but I do think he'll play again.
Right, but I think if this gets a lot of this stuff gets cleared up,
yeah.
Then it will.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't, yeah. I mean, if these...
Then that's out of your hands as a team.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that I don't think Deshaun Watson plays at all this year. I don't think he plays one game.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you there. It's crazy how much this... I mean, like I said, at the end of last season, none of this stuff was out there. Deshaun Watson was one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and now...
100%.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host, special guests for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll be giving away college football tickets, so text Sparky to 620-620. We come back at D-backs and Padres coming up here in just a little bit. We'll get you the on-deck show next. It is Burns and Gambo on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Yeah, before we get into the D-backs matchup with the Padres tonight, just in case you're jumping in your car, you've missed it throughout the day, Malcolm Butler has officially retired. So that's it's obviously the news of the day. It's been the news of the last 2 days, Gambo. Yesterday at this time, it was just kind of like, wait, what? He's considering this? And now he has done it.
Yeah, and now the Cardinals will, I am sure that they are going to burn the midnight oil scouring the waiver wire as over 100 cornerbacks have been released in the NFL. I mean, every team is releasing 3, 4, 5 cornerbacks. So there's a lot of guys that are out there. And now you've got to take a look at that and see, is there a guy I like? Is there a guy that fits? Because I can almost assure you they're going to make a move to bring in one or two of those guys. But I also don't believe that they'll be able to bring in anybody that is better than Robert Alford, Marco Wilson, or Byron Murphy. I don't think they'll be able to bring in anybody better than that. So you're very much looking for a guy that's going to be your fourth cornerback or your fifth cornerback to give you the depth you're going to need.
All right, let's get into this game tonight for the D-backs. Their 18th meeting with San Diego this season. They're 7-10 against the Padres this year. And let's start with the pitching matchup, which is brought to you by Berg Simpson. When the game is on the line, you've been injured. Nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers and changing lives. Gambo's Zach Gallen on the mound for the D-backs against Blake Snell of the Padres.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. Snell went 7 2/3 in his most recent outing. He was really good. Gave up one run, 3 hits, and struck out 10. Didn't walk a batter against the Dodgers last Wednesday. But he threw to 122 pitches. Did give up an 8th-inning homer to Will Smith and had to settle for a no decision. The Padres lost that game in 16 innings, 5-3. So a high pitch count, and you know, that's something that you look at because he threw a lot of pitches in that game. But this is a guy that they've relied on, that they went out and got, and they expected a lot from him. He is 6-5 with a 4.58 ERA. He's just not been able to give them what they expected this year.
Well, for Gallen, too, I mean, if you want to talk about a player that is just symbolic of this D-back season, he's started the season hurt. He's missed a lot of time. But for Zach Gallen to be 2-7 with a 4.32 ERA is not what you were expecting, even if you were pessimistic about this D-back season.
Yeah, listen, he finally got a win, you know, last week, and he ended that 13-start winless streak. He had gone 13 starts without getting a win. He gave up 2 runs, 3 hits, 5 innings against the Phillies. He ended up getting the win, you know, in that one. And, you know, he's a good, solid pitcher. The Padres have done a really good job on him. And they've tattooed him a little bit this year. So he's had 2 starts against San Diego, ERA of 5.59, hasn't won a game. So he has had some struggles against San Diego this season.
Now, D-backs are 9-9 in their last 18, but they're coming in the midst of a 4-game losing streak. And part of the reason for that losing streak, especially last night, was just a lot of mental mistakes out there. And Gambo, we had Torrey Lovello on earlier today. You asked him flat out if the D-backs were prepared to play last night.
Well, I wanted to believe so before we stepped out there, and we did everything in our normal ways in our pregame, and everything was full systems go. But you know, you saw the same thing I did. We fumbled a couple snaps and misplayed a bunch of routine plays, in my opinion, and that's unacceptable. So we need to be better. I need to be better. The coaches need to coach better, and the players need to play better. That's the bottom line.
Stuff will drive you crazy, right?
You know, the sad part about it is that, I mean, he mentioned, like, this has happened, like, 20 times this year, where they just, you know, they just didn't come out prepared to play. Mark Grace called them out right after the game. Like, they did not come out prepared to play. Now, coming off a long road trip, I mean, I get all of that stuff, but, you know, they just were very, very sloppy early in that game. To their credit, you know, they got back in it. You got the great at-bat by Rojas to get on, bases loaded, and then you get the Ketel Marte grand slam. But then I didn't like this decision in the 8th inning with a base open to pitch to Fernando Tatis, who ripped a double off the wall to drive in an insurance run.
He's so good. I mean, he's got to be the best hitter in baseball right now, right? I mean, you stand next to him, he's not even like that big of a guy, but in terms of just, I just don't want to pitch to him at all. I feel like I can beat the rest of the San Diego team. The D-backs have beaten them 7 times this year, even having a rough year. But I don't want to deal with Tatis, you know, if I don't have to.
It didn't make any sense to me. I mean, he's still Fernando Tatis. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes they put a lot of, you know, into these matchups. And I don't think they wanted Wendelken against Hosmer. And I understand that the way that logic. But, like, okay, you're pitching to Fernando Tatis. Like that, like, whatever the next best option is, that's a better option than pitching to Fernando Tatis, right?
Yeah.
There's no option to me, in my opinion. There's not an option, and I know he's had his struggles. He did not have a good month of August. He really didn't. But still, like, that's the one thing that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pitch to him.
He didn't have a good month of August, but he did have a good month of August against the D-backs, because the one game he played, he went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs before the game last night. So
he's had a lot of success. You know, yeah. He has had a lot of success. That was the key to the game last night is, you know, don't let Fernando Tatis beat you. He's had a lot of success against you.
Well, let's look at the MLB standings, brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. And for the D-backs, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, there's a lot of D-backs fans. I know that at this point, it's a lost season. They want them to just get that first overall pick, which would mean finishing last. They're still 2.5 games ahead of the Orioles. Baltimore's 40-90. The D-backs are 44-89. Arizona 3 games back of Texas for 28th in Major League Baseball. But the standings at this point, Gambo, just not a lot of fun to look at.
I don't even look. I don't even look at the standings. It is what it is. I mean, the Orioles are just so bad. I would highly doubt that the Diamondbacks end up with a worse record than the Baltimore Orioles. Look, this season's about continuing to play the young players, continuing to give these guys opportunities. I mean, Pavin Smith airballed a throw home, missed the cutoff guy, it sailed over the catcher's head, but you got to give them those opportunities, let them learn from those mistakes. Rojas has been good. I really like him. You know, Varsho, as a lot of people feel, he's not a catcher. Like, he's probably not a catcher full-time. He's more of an outfielder. But either way, like, I like him, and I want to see him continue to get at-bats. This isn't the 70s and the 80s where you got Johnny Bench and Carlton Fisk and Thurman Munson and all these guys are going to catch, you know, 145 games a year. It doesn't work out like that. The wear and tear on a catcher in today's day and age in baseball, you need 2 to 3 catchers. You're going to split it up. You're not going to have one guy. I mean, Yadier Molina is he's the exception. Like, there are not many catchers that you're going to have catch that many games. You're going to give them rest. You're going to split up that time with 2 or 3 different catchers.
All right, let's get to the keys to the game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell2Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to Sell2Sands.com today.
You know, it's real easy to look at, you know, different stats and everything and say, okay, this is what you got to do, and this guy's playing this well against you, and this guy's playing poorly against you and stuff like that, you know, when you come up with it. I mean, look, Christian Walker's 0-for-10 with 7 strikeouts against Snell.
Oh,
okay?
Great.
I mean, I don't know why he's in the lineup. Lovello said he likes the matchup. He's 0-for-10 with 7 strikeouts against Snell. Ketel Marte's 2-for-14 with 1 homer against Snell. So Ketel's 2-for-14. Christian Walker's 0-for-10. So, I mean, you could look for stuff like that and say, okay, that's the key. That's really what you got to do. But to me, it just really comes down to fundamental baseball. They have to get back to playing fundamental baseball. The Diamondbacks have beat themselves so many times this year, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch as a fan. So I think that's the key. The key to the game is better fundamental baseball.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with that after last night. Ketel Marte did have a grand slam last night, but that wasn't off Blake Snell, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Luke, good job filling in. You'll be back again tomorrow on Wednesday, September 1st. Want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Burns and Gambo Show. We will see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock sharp, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Have a good night, everyone.